So for our purpose, we'll describe excellence as the evolution of good on a continuous and unfolding basis through anything or anyone or any act, okay? So that means that there's no one good. It's totally subjective, it's totally a place of evolution, and it changes all the time according to what you bring to it. We're going to describe integrity for our purpose as doing what you say you're going to do, doing it when you say you will, and communicating immediately when you know that you cannot remain in integrity. So, it's very forgivable, and it's not moral. And the truth is, the best of us within any given day are probably slip out of integrity, just because sometimes there's elements and there are things that come at us that we don't anticipate. So the way we return quickly into integrity, though, is by saying what is. So if you commit to do something and suddenly you can't do it, it is the acknowledgement, the fearless acknowledgement to who's ever expecting you to do something. I said I was going to do this, and now I can't. I have to change my commitment. That alone, that simple statement alone, returns you immediately into integrity. Immediately. But if you're anything like, at least I used to be, you think if you don't say anything, they won't notice. Have you tried that method? Yeah, oh man, that does not work. It does not work. So I have to tell you a bad story, a really bad story. It's a good story, but it's a horrible, horrible demonstration of what I'm talking about. And it's about me, so I can tell you. I've been marrying people for 10 years. And every time I marry somebody, you get paperwork for the license from the town clerk. And the town clerk, on the paperwork, it always says, the minister or the officiant must return the paperwork within a certain amount of days. I don't care what it says. I ain't touching that paperwork. Why? Because I know me and paperwork. So I always tell the bride and groom, I'm not doing this. You do this. So in 10 years, never once, until recently, did I handle the paperwork. Okay, here comes the bad part. I handled it. I took it, and I put it in the right and secure place. Bless your little heart. Thank you. And then I forgot to send it in. Oh, man. Not good, because it has a time limit. So I don't realize until I get an email from the groom. Really sweet. Reverend Michelle, by any chance, did you? And I hadn't. And, well, actually, I wasn't 100% sure, because sometimes I do the right thing, but I forgot that I do it because I'm so used to not doing the right thing. Have you done that? Have you done that? Like, you already took care of something, you put it exactly where it is, but you're so used to being a screw-up, you look everywhere but the exact place that was supposed to go, and you put it there to begin with. So he gets a sweet email, and I'm sitting in my car because, you know, I read my emails so often on my phone. And I read the email, and I'm telling you, this physical, visceral experience came from my toes up my body, this heat, and all I could think is, I am a worthless piece of dog doo-doo. Not even the doo-doo itself. It's like when you walked in it for a while, and there's stuff you scrape off, like, okay, that's me. I felt like less than worthless. But then I had the solution. Now, that you can pretty much anticipate that was an old feeling, right? Because that's not what I live into anymore. You can pretty much anticipate that was a lot of pain and a lot of wound from who I was being. So you know what the solution was? Because it was an old feeling, so the old solution was I could lie. Now, you can laugh at that. I didn't actually do it. It was just a passing thought. Because that was my old way of being. And if you understood my family dynamics, you'd get it. You wouldn't even question it. If I told you the whys and the wherefores and how that got conditioned and how that got trained into me, you would just get it. You go, oh, yeah, I would have done that too. And the funny thing was, when I was young, in my mid-20s, I was tending bar. And I got fired from a job. They accused me of stealing. Now, I'm telling you, I've never stolen a dime in my life. I had not. But they were sure that I had stolen money. So I walked away indignant and upset and, you know, sure that they were the bad guys. But it wasn't until way later I got to realize they weren't seeing me steal money, but they were totally plugging in to I wasn't an honest being. You get it? My lack of integrity and my being out of integrity, my dishonest behavior, was still being communicated. So this is to speak to you and saying, don't think you're hiding. Don't think that you're being out of integrity or you not saying something you think needed to be said or you not doing what you think you needed to do and by not telling the person that you're getting away with anything. We never get away with anything because life will respond to that which you carry. When you're having a funky relationship with somebody and you can't quite figure it out, it's not in your outside behavior and your voice very often. It's the resentment that you're carrying. So, to totally return to what we're talking about, in order for me to be in an unfolding evolution of excellence, I must be willing to accept who I am. I must be willing to forgive who I am. And then I must be willing to have a new experience of who I am. Right? You get that? Everybody gets to do that. Everybody gets to do it all the time. That's the whole thing, you know, with Don Miguel from the Four Agreements. Always do your best. And he says clearly, your best changes from moment to moment and day to day. Now, just like the Tao, they say if you talk about excellence and things like that and you talk about integrity, you're probably not in it a lot. Yet I have to. Because I see the value of it and because I have to call myself out. And God knows the blatant behavior that once was is no longer who I am. But I forget things, or I do. Sometimes being grounded isn't my best quality. I'm a little excitable, you know, as you can see. So in order for me, though, to step into a place of excellence, getting grounded has to be part of what I do. So my particular unfolding of excellence comes along with some of the things I've revealed to you over the past year in the practices that I've done, and what I came to very often is dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Do you remember we talked about that? I was in the middle of the labyrinth. Oh, it was last New Year's Eve. And I'm in the middle of the labyrinth, and we're asking for what's next for our life, for our life's highest unfolding. What does my next expression of success look like? And the answer comes, dot the I's and cross the T's. I'm like, that's it? Like, that's what I got? But the truth is, because that's the place of grounding for me. So I can still get to keep my inspired, passionate self. But when I ground it, it becomes full, and it becomes a potency to deal with, something more to bring to the table. So in excellence, you as an individual get to ask yourself, what do I want the continuing unfolding of my life to look like? And I wrote down a question here. Well, just one of the questions is, what kind of life experience do you want? Do you want one where you skate along and under the radar? Or do you want one where you're in full expression. Now, some of you probably have friends like I do, and thank God for these people who are around me and inspire me. I've been blessed in my growing up as a minister to be surrounded by a number of people who live in high integrity. Now, they don't talk about integrity. They probably don't know what the subject is about because they're too busy living it. But they are constantly showing me what that looks like. And so you probably know those people, but they're probably not talking about it. But it's easy to get out of integrity because one of the easiest things is for us to have our flow of integrity to be interrupted by our stories and our wounds. So we get off base and we try to make up for it and our ego gets tripped and then we give more credence to stories and wounds than we do to who it is we choose to be. Are you with me? Everybody getting this? It's all about the focus and the direction. And I bring this up in our community because for me, I would like anyone who walks through those doors to depend upon us as a community, as each individual of the community, as every practitioner, as every board member, and most certainly as every minister. That you know that what I say I'll do, and if I can't do it, that I'll own it. So that, and if I make a mistake, that I come back around and I keep bringing. You see, I've always said this to you, there's no done, but there is constant refinement. And in order to do that also, you have to feel safe. Your heart has to feel safe. And so this doesn't work if you have a habit of self-condemnation. You can't transform this. If every time you make an error, you condemn yourself. Trust me, with that license, boy, was that a lesson. But when I saw the old knee-jerk mechanism to deal with it come up, I looked at that and I recognized it. So one of the very first things I do when I have an experience like that is I make sure I tell a safe person. Because then I can't hide. There's no temptation to hide. So I have a number of those people in my life, and if you don't have them, you want to cultivate them. So that right there and then, it's out. It might have taken me a day. I was pretty upset with myself. I'll have you know it totally took care of it. There was no repercussions and everything is fine. Thank you, God. But the science of mind is a teaching that says anything is possible. That which we hold in consciousness and that which we act upon and we embody in our life, that anything we get to that physical experience of that we can activate in our lives and we can have as our reality. Yes? Right? Okay. But sometimes we don't quite always have a form to demonstrate it through. So this formula provides for you, if you want it, a formula to activate the science of mind teaching. Because in order to have this experience, you have to feel worthy of it. Actually, there's one more story I want to tell you, and it's not my story, it's Bill's story. But I heard him tell it. Well, I've heard you tell it probably a couple times now, but even the very first time, it left its mark on me. Bill used to do a lot of training with Landmark Education. Some of you know Landmark Education, right? Excuse me. So he used to do a lot of training with Landmark Education. And the one time, I guess he was finally going to help to co-facilitate something or show up as, you know, feeling important, whatever that might have been. And he goes in early and he's, you know, all dressed properly because that's what he does. Bill likes to, you know, be the part, and I love that. And he walks in and the leader of the day says to him, okay, and Bill says, well, okay, what do we do? And he says, well, go check the bathrooms. And Bill's like, what? He said, yeah, go check the bathrooms. See if the bathrooms are clean, check the mirrors and toilets. Wouldn't you be a little surprised? Okay? So what Bill got in that lesson and through the teacher teaching him is that in order for someone to come here to get what we're giving, they have to not be distracted by stuff. They have to not be distracted by chaos and stuff. And he says, so it's our job to make sure there's no smudges on the walls or the doors, you know, handprints on glass doors and all of that. It's our job to make sure that when someone walks in, they don't get caught by that smudge, but they go directly through to the teacher so they're open and available to the teacher. Pretty big blessing, huh? So that wasn't even my experience, but it was such a potent story, I've never forgotten that. So moving forward now a while. Because we are, because this training will be coming, and again, I say to you, any of you who are open for it are willing to participate, that it'll be a free training, and your jobs, your homes, your life will benefit. So if you want to, you just declare yourself as available. And one of the things I recently got my hands on, which was this great little book, although it's all about business, it's called The Integrity Advantage by Adrian Gostick and Dana Telford, and I do not have it in the bookstore. And there it says, one of the top 10 secrets to success. So they analyzed and they picked apart corporations and companies. and what they did, the ones that worked, that and what they found, well, where it worked, it was because these people and these companies were working from a place of integrity. So they have 10 steps, 10 little secrets, and they're important enough, I want to briefly give them to you. So the first one is, and this is so great and so simple, you know that the little things count. Details do matter. Because you can write with almost any kind of pen. You can write with a Bic. And it's okay, I like a Bic, old-fashioned Bic ballpoint pen. Or you can write with a Mont Blanc, or even more. The difference are the details. The difference between an okay experience and an excellent experience are the details. So the details do count. You find the white when others see gray. Now, this was really great, because they teach in the book here how there are some times that we let go of the little agreements. We think, oh, nobody will notice if the little one down here. But what happens is in the little temptation, it paves the way and it sets up a culture inside of our own being where we allow ourselves to then falter on the big questions. It's how corporate culture, it's how political culture gets contaminated. Because we start down here, it's no big deal, a little agreement, a little favor for a favor. But before you know it, we've already created the space inside of us where it's okay. You understand? So gray is that gray area. That's what they mean. Number 3, you mess up, you fess up. Pretty simple. Come on, we're human, make mistakes. I didn't actually think I'd ever tell you that story, to be honest with you. It was horrible. I was horrified by my own behavior, by myself. I was horrified. I didn't think I'd have the courage to actually tell you, so I'm kind of relieved that it came out. I am. It's the truth. I feel like I just had a good confession or something. But you make a mistake, just make the mistake. Don't make yourself, beat yourself up, get yourself bloody, condemn yourself. Make it, own it, clear it up. Done. Create a culture of trust by being trustworthy. We've been talking for a long time around here, and it's a good thing to remind ourselves of on a regular basis, about the practice of non-gossip. You want to create trust? Don't gossip. You got a problem with somebody? Where do you go? To the person. You go direct. Go direct. You will feel so powerful. You will feel so clean. And the person will thank you. The person will thank you because it's clean and it's nothing that's going to show up later on. Go direct. Whether it's to each other, to a practitioner, or whether it's to me. I know that I'm the tough one because being the queen, you know, the queen mother of all things, you know, I'm the tougher one. I get that. But come anyway. And you have. And every time you do, it's a beautiful exchange of give and receive, and it's open and it's clear, and there's nothing that follows. But God, when stuff starts going around the back end of things, oh man, does it get contaminated. And then I got to go and do my spiritual work, which I do anyway, thank God. And so would you. So practice non-gossip if you want to cultivate a culture of trust and go direct. You're number 7. Oh, no, wait, where am I? Number five. You keep your word. That's simple. We've already talked about. Integrity is being your word. Just be your word. And if you can't be your word, say you can't be your word. It happens. Stuff happens. You care about the greater good. And let me read this one. To have the integrity advantage, you are deeply committed to and make decisions that will benefit the entire organization or your entire team or your entire family, whatever that is, to which you belong. You care passionately about your company products and services and especially your teammates. Through your work, you gain a sense of deeper purpose. So you speak always to the bigger picture, the complete picture, not the moment, not what's in it for me, but the bigger picture. And then you do checking in with yourself about that. And you see, am I taking something personally? Because if you're taking something personally, you're not thinking about the bigger picture. You're simply in your smaller world. Because in this, a big part of this practice will be that we want to collude with your greatness. We want to be in a world of collusion, and that collusion is, I want to see who you are, I want to live into the potency of who you are, I want to speak to the allness of who you are, so that as I'm recognizing that, you rise up to that. You with me? That's how we support each other within a community. We collude with greatness. We don't stand still when gossip has been tempted. We say, listen, I don't want to be there for that. And I love how everybody's on a little bit of a... I want to even say eggshells for the moment, because sometimes I'll be in the office and somebody will forget and they'll do some complaining and they'll see me sitting there and the complaining stops immediately. But I shouldn't be the one reminding you, because the energy of that and the energy of not doing that transforms your life. And we're going to come back around to that a few months from now, because I have a lot to talk to about that. You act like you're being watched. Now, we learned this, all my practitioners in the room, and my practitioner interns and the ministers. Early in the practitioner work, we learned that once you even declare that you're going to be a practitioner, you learn that immediately somebody's watching you. He's giggling because you know, right? All eyes are on you. Why? Because when you call yourself out and you say, I want to be the one standing in the front of the room, suddenly that means that I got to live a life that if somebody's watching me from wherever I am, that they're going to see the expression of excellence and integrity and compassion and wholeness and honesty. So, it's exhausting. But it's what we do. It is what we do. So we don't get to falter. But if every one of us lived our life like somebody was watching, what would you have not done today? What would you have not done yesterday? If there was a microphone in your car, way too many giggles. It's okay. Sometimes you're going to be human. It's okay. It's all right. I don't mean to make it that a big deal, but it's a great indicator of how much stress you carry and how much you make somebody else in charge of your experience. There's a lot of idiots on the road, let me tell you. Right? Amen to that, right? I get that. But they're still not in charge of your experience. They're not. They're not. Neither is the clerk and neither is the doctor, the doctor's assistant who won't call you back after you've called them 3, 4, 5 times. So what would you not do if somebody was watching? What would you not have said if somebody was watching? And that's how you decide what to do. You with me? You don't like that one, do you? And then, of course, you hire integrity. So that means, now in here we don't talk about hiring, of course, because it's a volunteer organization. But what that will mean is that we will have a solid conversation around integrity, that we will cultivate integrity, that we will teach and train integrity, and that integrity will speak to integrity as much as possible in every given moment, and not as in right and wrong, as in, wow, if you're having this good experience anyway, this is what's possible if you raise it up. This is what's possible. Right? You see that? And their last one is, you stay the course. And man, that's the one. In this teaching, we talk about oneness and we talk about the eternal nowness, that there's only now, right? That's common. You've all heard that. Except sometimes we're impatient with the now. We think the now has to be the second. But see, now, because it's no time, that now can be now, could be an hour from now, that now is still a week from now, and sometimes that now is a year from now. Because in that now, there is a natural sense of evolution. I mean, when you plant a seed, the sprout doesn't pop out of the soil like that, like a piece of popcorn, you know? When you get pregnant, it does take 9 months or so to have that child. So there is a natural creativity and evolution that happens. So we have to try to let go of the idea of what now is. So very often we speak of spiritual mind treatment because most of us are doing our work and we're doing our practices and we're doing our prayer work. And then we say, but it didn't happen yet. Because the now is not on your time. Now is God's time. Now is God's. It's not yours. And that now could look like many things. But here's your job and my job. Our job is to manage the time between the planting of the seed and the picking of the fruit. That's all. And what that means is in between there, then we're cultivating peace. We're remaining in peace, and we're remaining receptive, and we're creating a space inside of us of allowance. So that is how we stay the course. We stay faithful. Plant the seed. I mean, I'm not doing it today, but I've had some mind-blowing demonstrations recently in my life, and I look at them and say, oh yeah, that's pretty exact, and that's pretty exact. So my job was simply to stay the course in between and to remain in peace. Are you with me? So in this formula, what we believe is that when we cultivate an individual expression of excellence as it continues to unfold through us, and then we put that together with the headier part of being in integrity and those practices, that as those two come together, we transform. And then we pull other people into our own transformed self. And then that transformation then leaches out into our family and into our community. And people will depend upon you. And someone told a story yesterday that is not mine to repeat. But she told me a story about something that happened. She had gotten a new job. And somebody really, really kind of rudely confronted her. It was very interesting how people could be. But what happened was she remained grounded, and she didn't go into reaction, and she just stood there and kind of answered this person's questions and, you know, stood in that place. And, you know, the woman kind of walked off with her attitude a bit, and she was left there shaking her head going, what the heck was that? Only to find out days later from another coworker said to her, boy, that woman really loves you. And she was shocked. But what happened was the person I'm referring to didn't buy in. She didn't give her a hook to hang her judgment on. Are you with me? You get that? So she got to be in the teaching. And so this woman now thinks that the person I'm speaking about is absolutely great, and she is. And that's who we get to be. And that's what you get to carry into your jobs, into your businesses, into your salon, into everywhere you are. If none of you have ever visited Ann Hall's salon, you need to. Not only does she do great color and great hair, it's like a sanctuary. It's like a sanctuary. I go in there, it's like a confessional. It's a therapy chair. And she's like just this safe, incredible being to be around. I didn't really mean to give her a commercial, but it's okay. Hair by Ann. Yeah, right? She's good. So when you are that, because we've been saying for weeks now, you can't have prosperity without being prosperity. You can't have love without being love. You can't have integrity without being integrity. And you can't have excellence without being excellence. Right. And those things come together for the transformed self, the transformed home, the transformed job, the transformed center. Is there anyone here that could not benefit from that? No, I don't think not. So take that, you know, take the practices, take them. So let's take this into prayer. If you will, hold the hand of somebody next to you, connect with your community. Let us know together that as we allow this idea of excellence and integrity to enter into our being, into our consciousness, That we find the willingness at the very grounding of our essence that reaches up and says yes, that reaches up and allows, that reaches up and embraces the idea. Let us all know together that even if the, even if here you are already living at that highest, that there's always more because evolution is infinite. And there's always a beautiful, infinite expression of possibility happening in, through, and as us. And it happens in the simplest way. It happens through the yes, I am willing, the yes, I accept, the yes, I allow, the yes, I am worthy of my good and my greater good. And so divinity, in all of its infinite intelligence, shows up through our lives. Shows up in the most beautiful and perfect way. And we simply are here to allow and accept. So on behalf of everyone here and everyone within the reach of my voice and on the podcast, because we know that that's happening, we say thank you. And we allow, we allow, we allow. And so it is.